Ahead with your call.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Dean Brown?
Yes.
Well, good morning, Dean. This is another week's gone by, and the legislature's doing things, and you're adjusting to being back from the Supermax. So how are you doing?
I'm crazy. kind of hectic. I'm looking over some of this legislation that's being proposed, and it strikes me kind of funny how they're saying it's an emergency that they have this stuff passed right away and enacted into law when the emergency seems to be the people who are affected by it are still getting screwed. Are you still with me? I just heard a click.
Here I am.
Okay. I didn't know if they disconnected. It took me 10 minutes to get through the way the phone system works here. I'm all for prepaid minutes on the phone. I think that anybody out there who goes through the public utilities, they find a phone company that's suitable to them, you know, one that say, allows you to make or receive unlimited collect calls for, say, $30 a month. The Department of Corrections doesn't make money hand over foot on such a thing, so they're proposing legislation that would strip the low-income families of prisoners from any say in what phone service provider that they select.
So they're at the mercy of whatever rates this one company decides to charge.
Exactly. Outrageous rates that are not even in any graph of competitive rates for people outside. It's a separate set of rates just for prisoners and their families. It strikes me as fun. Well, I can't really say it's funny. I mean, I got to laugh at it, but line 14 in the proposal, I think it was 1884. Let me look real quick. Legislative document, 1884, yes. Line 6, was it? They said that, right here we go. Line 14, 12 to 14, whereas in the judgment of the legislature, these facts create an emergency within the meaning of the Constitution of Maine and require the following legislation as immediately necessary for the preservation of the public peace, health, safety. I don't see how the public's health or safety is involved at all here. The only thing we're dealing with is how much more money the Department of Corrections is allowed to make off the suffering families of the incarcerated.
Now, this is another disgraceful aspect of the Baldacci administration looking everywhere for money to squeeze.
Pathetically. Denise Lord, I understand, is going to be on later in the...
Right. We're going to have to jump off here at about 5 or 6 minutes to make sure that she gets in there.
She's fond of stating to the media that things are getting better. Things are not getting better. For prisoners who still don't have to have toothbrushes in the Supermax, things are certainly not getting better for them. And the phone system, an inmate spoke to me the other day, a friend of mine, Bill, said it's like they're trying to sell you a toaster for $100,000, but they're changing the price to $75,000, and that's better than $100,000, but it's still outrageously more than what the toaster's worth.
Oh, I see.
It's asinine to put these taxes, not just that, but also on the work program, payment of restitution and fines. The Department of Corrections is going to give itself permission next Thursday to impose fines as part of a sanction. Regardless of what the public has to say, there are going to be people there to oppose it. These people are still going to give themselves permission to impose a fine. We have no procedural safeguards. Our appeals are denied routinely, regardless of what policy is violated. There's nobody holding anybody to accountable to the policy. So,
aren't many inmates destitute? How are they gonna pay fines?
Well, they're gonna end up on the streets on probation or parole. And according to this new bill, those guards will be able to carry guns, hunt them down, and drag them back
for non-payment of their prison debt.
It would certainly seem that way from this thing here.
I thought the mafia was doing that sort of thing. Well,
it's racketeering by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the Department of Corrections is making money. I'm working on getting you a copy of an agreement signed by the Maine Civil Liberties Union and another one signed by the University of Maine School of Law stating exactly what the terms are for the receipt of funds from the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections is shaking our families down for these funds, and now they want to do it more and put fines on our disciplinary actions, so they can take this money and go out and pay people that would otherwise help a prisoner file a lawsuit against corruption in the prison, and get that those people to agree not to help us. How corrupt can you get? Baldacci promised the corrections union, the guards union here, to clean out the top of corrections in the prison, all the garbage, the corrupt people that have just been dictating how things were going to be, regardless of what law or policy or procedure were, and just do what they want. He was going to clean them out, but when he became the governor, he pretty much said the hell with them. A guard was talking to me about this just the other day. I believe I mentioned it last week briefly also, but it happens. I mean, there's just, the commissioner's hands are tied. Even if he wanted to do something, he cannot do it because there are too many people that just will not comply because they don't have to. There's nobody forcing them to follow policy and procedure, because if someone does, these people have the dirt on them. You have a captain here. Captain Cutler was kicked out of Massachusetts correctional system because he could not and would not abide by the rules and regulations. That didn't matter to Maine.
Huh.
They took him.
Wow.
And he still does what he wants. When he wants a man placed on high-risk placement in the Supermax for 6 months to a year or 2 years or however long, all he has to do is say, this is what I want, and it's given to him. Carte blanche. It's just given to him. Don't have to have a hearing. I mean, I spent 7 months out there because I escaped or attempted to escape or planned to escape or threatened to escape, and nobody said which one. And nobody accused me of doing anything. There's no accusation in writing of any sort, no charges whatsoever. And I had no hearing. I'm entitled to, by law and the U.S. Supreme Court, to a hearing before that placement occurs. These people don't care. They simply say, we don't care about that. You're guilty, you're doing this or whatever. And there's no accusation against me. It's just Cutler wanted me out there for 7 months. That's what he gets.
Let me ask you a quick question here, and that is, supposedly, the Department of Corrections is supposed to be rehabilitating people, and I expect that Ms. Lord is going to explain something of that. But what is your take on rehabilitation at the Maine State Prison?
For the Department of Corrections, I'd have to say rehabilitation is a conflict of interest.
Because what?
Well, because the corrections department is being run as an industry. Without inmates here to fill the beds, there's no room for expansion and the hierarchy growing and whatnot. But these people aren't teaching the prisoners how to function in society. They're teaching us how to function here, how to get over. We look at the administration on all the things that they do to get over on society, to squeeze the hell out of the taxpayer and the families of the incarcerated. I mean, the Pine State and the telephone system. I mean, they're making money hand over foot off the people who can least afford it in the state. And then, I mean, if we leave, that where's that money going to come from?
Well, okay, I see what you're saying there. Now, let's see. What else was I... another one I was asked was about the appeals of getting rubber stamped or denied. This sort of an attorney general's idea, or do you know?
We have Captain David George, the disciplinary captain, who explained to me personally that Diane Sleek, one of the attorneys in the attorney general's office, feels that if they feel they can beat an action, an appeal by a prisoner in court, then that's good enough to violate policy. Policy is written with mandatory language. It says certain procedures shall be and must be complied with. The Part 3 of the disciplinary policy says it is also the policy of the Department of Corrections that to observe the constitutional and statutory rights of prisoners and in making a disciplinary hearing fundamentally fair. When prisoners are told they cannot call witnesses or they cannot present evidence or argue on their behalf or any number of procedures that are set out to make sure that a prisoner's rights are not violated, though when those policies are violated and a prisoner points out to the deputy warden, listen, this policy number 32 or whatever was violated, the record shows that this was totally ignored. Paperwork has been generated and proves beyond a doubt that this has been done. the deputy warden is still going to deny your appeal. Period. That's a done deal. You're guilty of getting the write-up, and that's all that matters. Whether you did what you're written up for is irrelevant. If a guard wrote you up, you're getting found guilty because he wrote you up. Bottom line, there's no beating it. And when you try to file in an outside court, you find yourself, like Kurt DeFilippo found himself in Massachusetts, and then they went into court and said, geez, we'd like to throw his case out, his Rule 80C hearing under the Administrative Procedures Act, where you can appeal final state agency action. They tried to throw it out because he's no longer in the supermax for what they brought him out here for. Well, he's in Rhode Island for what they brought him out there for. He's away from his family. I mean, you know, to just sit there and the Attorney General's office doesn't look at the fact that, look, you know, you get 10 of these, or a lot more, Rule 80C appeals that prove that the department or the prison itself is violating a prisoner's rights and their own policies and procedures and still being punished in the face of that. You would think that the Attorney General would advise the Department of Corrections to adhere to their own policies, but she's not. As long as you can, or she can get the court to dismiss the complaint because an inmate who's not a lawyer didn't cross his T's and dot his I's, that's acceptable. And the practice keeps going. So there is, in effect, no appeal process open to us. We have no avenue.
And with this fining business going on, you may even have even less of an avenue for these fees, filing fees, and so on.
Exactly. And the I was looking at the work program, payment of restitution and fines. That seems to be conveniently placed in 1884 for the sole purpose of, like I said, the Department of Corrections is going to have a public hearing, which is like a hoax, okay, because right. They're going to do what they want, and I'll bet any amount of money to anybody that they're going to give themselves permission to add these fines as sanctions to disciplinary action. But they have no authority to just take that money off your books. They can't take the money to pay fines. When a prisoner or a convicted person goes to court and gets a sentence and the judge says you got to pay, say, $1,000 restitution while you're incarcerated, and we authorize the prison to take up to 25% of your any money you got coming in or any money you earn, they can take up to 25% of it and put it towards this. You have a court order in that case.
Right.
The Department of Corrections is trying to get the legislature to give them the authority to just take that money. So when they get a fine, they say, yeah, the Department of Corrections or the chief administrative officer of a facility is authorized to take those funds and pay them to the victim. And when they make themselves the victim because they're the ones that are the recipients of the fine, they just take the money for themselves. This legislation is going to give them permission to do that.
Huh.
And right. I don't see the emergency need. They're saying that it's an emergency. It's necessary for the preservation of the public peace,
right.
Health, and safety. How? I want Denise Lord to tell us how the safety of the state of Maine is affected by this.
Right.
It's not.
This is a status that they use to simply, in order that it becomes the law of the land as soon as the governor signs it. No 30-day or 90-day waiting period. They start squeezing the money right then.
Exactly.
We're going to have to take off to make some space for Ms. Lord.
Okay.
Any messages you want to send to her?
I think she should be open and honest with reviewing. I'd like to know why the prisoners in the Supermax still can't have TVs like almost every Supermax in the country can. If you watch that show Lock Up on MSNBC most weeknights, they show Supermax prisons all over the country. You got people have coffee pots in their Supermax cells. Those people are in those cells for being very dangerous, violent people. The people over here in our Supermax are for anything from telling a guard to go to hell to smoking a cigarette, or worse, if you got two people in a cell and a guard walks by and smells cigarette smoke, they both get written up and found guilty.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to bring that to her attention then. We're going to have to buzz off here. Thank you very
much
for your time.
Thank you very much, Ron.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
And we just had some words with Maine State Prison inmate Dean Brown talking about things that the legislature might want to consider.